ఓం శ్రీ గురుభ్యో నమః. హరిః ఓం. సదాశివసమారంభాం శంకరాచార్యమధ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్యపర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం. సద్గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. సదాశివసమారంభాం శంకరాచార్యమధ్యమాం అస్మదాచార్యపర్యంతాం వందే గురు పరంపరాం సద్గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. బ్రహ్మసూత్రాస్ చాప్టర్ 3 పాద 2 సంధ్యాధికరణం. సంధ్యే సృష్టిః ఆహైః నిర్మాతారం చ ఏకే పుత్రాదయశ్చ మాయామాత్రం తు కార్త్స్నేన అనభివ్యక్తస్వరూపత్వాత్ సూచకశ్చ హి శ్రుతేః ఆచక్షతే చ తద్విదః పరాభిధ్యానాతు తిరోహితం తతో హ్యస్య బంధ విపర్యయౌ దేహయోగాద్వా సహ అపి తత్ అభావాధికరణం. తదభావో నాడీషు తత్ శ్రుతేః ఆత్మని చ అతః ప్రబోధః అస్మాత్ కామానుస్మృతి కర్మానుస్మృతి శబ్ద విద్యాధికరణం. స ఏవ తు కర్మానుస్మృతి శబ్ద విధిభ్యః ముగ్ధే అర్థసంపత్తిధికరణం. ముగ్ధే అర్థసంపత్తిః పరిశేషాత్ ఉభయలింగాధికరణం. న స్థానతోపి పరస్య ఉభయలింగం సర్వత్ర హి న వేదాదతి ఇది చేత్ న ప్రత్యేకం అతత్వచనాత్ అపి చ ఏవ మేకే అరూపవత్ ఏవ హి తత్ ప్రధానత్వాత్ ప్రకాశవచ్చ అవైయర్థ్యం ఆహ చ తన్మాత్రం దర్శయతి చాతో అపి స్మర్యతి స్మర్యతే. అత ఏవ చోపమా సూర్యకాదివత్ అంబువత్ అగ్రహణాత్తు న తతాత్వం వృద్ధి హ్రాసభాక్త్వం అంతర్భావాత్ ఉభయ సామంజస్యాత్ ఏవం దర్శనాచ్చ ప్రకృత్యైతావత్వాధికరణం. ప్రకృత్యై తావత్వం హి ప్రతిషేధతి తతో బ్రవీతి చ భూయః తద్ అవ్యక్తమాహి తద్ అవ్యక్తమాహి అపి చ సంరాధనే ప్రత్యక్ష అనుమానాభ్యాం ప్రకాశాదివచ్చ అవైశేష్యం ప్రకాశశ్చ కర్మణ్య అభ్యాద్ అభ్యాసాత్ అతః అనంతేన తథా హి లింగం ఉభయ వ్యవదేశాత్తు అహి కుండలవత్ ప్రకాశ ఆశ్రయవత్వా తేజస్వాత్ పూర్వవద్వా ప్రతిషేధాచ్చ పరాధికరణం. పరమతః సేతూన్మాన సంబంధః భేద వ్యపదేశేభ్యః పరమతః సేతూన్మాన సంబంధ భేద వ్యపదేశేభ్యః. 31st సూత్ర సెకండ్ పాద థర్డ్ చాప్టర్ 349th రన్నింగ్ బ్రహ్మసూత్ర. Let us give a general introduction to this adhikaranam with 7 sutras from 31 to 37. This is called paradhikaranam because it starts with the word param. And the previous one we saw in the last adhikaranam is bedha bedavadaha, which is the seed for visishtadvaitam, we said. And now the topic here is bedavadaha, which is the seed for Dvaita Darshanam. So this Dvaita Darshanam is critically analyzed in this Adhikaranam. And what is the difference between Bheda Vedavada and Bhedavada? As the very words show, Bheda Vedavadi accepts both equally. Bheda difference is also there. Abheda non-difference is also there. And they manage by saying that Bheda is part of Abheda, whereas Bhedavadi does not accept Abheda at all. He does not accept Jivatma Paramatma Aikyam at all. He does not even agree that Jivatma is a part of Paramatma. It is neither identical with Paramatma, nor is Jivatma part of Paramatma. On the other hand, the Dvaita philosopher says Jivatma is totally different entity. And the interesting thing is, he also takes the support of the same Veda alone. And Vyasacharya is going to refute this Bhedavada and establish Abheda here. This is the general introduction to this Adhikaranam. Now let us give the general analysis of the first sutra. This is a Purvapaksha sutra, and the Dvaita philosopher introduces his philosophy in this sutra. The total sutra is a Purvapaksha sutra. And he says, Jivatma and the world should be totally different from Paramatma. Not even part of Paramatma, but they should be distinct entities. And that is why they are called Dvaitins or Dvaita. Everything is different and nothing can be identical with anything. Even if you take two of your own fingers, they are different. Even your own two eyes, they are different. One may be short sight, another may be long sight, or some other problem. So Jivatma is Atma, Paramatma also is Atma, and still they are different. Similarly, Jivatma and Jagat, they are different. Therefore, Jiva Jagat Bedaha, Jiva Ishwara Bedaha, and Ishwara Jagat Bedaha, all of them. Everything is different. Okay. And what about in moksha? In moksha also, Jivatma will be Jiva in Vaikuntha, and Ishwara will be Ishwara in Vaikuntha or Kailasha or in the heaven. So everywhere difference is carefully retained. And only thing is Ananda. Ananda will be eternally experienced in moksha. And he has to give the Vedic support for all this. And in this sutra, Vyasacharya shows four places in the Veda where the distinctions are accepted. So for distinctions for Dvaita Matam, there are so many instances, four places Vyasacharya takes here. And what are those? One is Setu, next is Unmana, then Sambandha and Bheda. Because of these four portions, the Bheda is established. And what does the Purvapakshi mean by that? Setu, number one, is a bund, a bank, which is constructed out of mud between two pieces of cultivable land. This is very common sight in our villages and all, between two properties, two plots of land. They will have this bund going across. We call it in Tamil, varappu or something. So that water from one area will not cross over to the other. That is Setu, also a bridge. So here bund. And where does it come? In Chandogya Upanishad, in the 8th, chapter, 4th section, 1st mantra. Ataya atmasa setuhu vidritihi. This controls the dharma of the people so that people will not violate dharma, will not go beyond dharma. And whenever they do, what does Lord does? What does he do? Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chadushkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya. So here the water is like dharma, or the laws of the universe is like water, and that is maintained by the Lord, like a dam, like a wall, like this bund. It is controlled. And the moment there is a violation, then Bhagavan has his own methods of adjusting it. Even population explosion and all, the Lord introduces a war and earthquake, all those kinds of things. That is called Dharma Setuhu, the protector of dharma. Okay, and how does the Dvaita philosopher makes use of this? Wherever there is bund or a wall, there must be something to be protected. It is meant to protect the water from flowing out from one property to the other. That means what? There is protector and there is protected waters. Similarly, Ishwara is the protector and the world, dharma, universal laws, all of them are the ones that are protected. Therefore, protector should be different from protected, and Jivatma also comes under protected category only, because Paritranaya Sadhunam and all that, it is very clear that Jivatma and Paramatma are different. One is the Setu, the protector, and the other things, they are all protected. This is the first example in this sutra. And the second example is Unmana. Unmana means literally measurement or dimension. And the Shastra talks about the size of both Paramatma and Jivatma. And where do they talk? In so many places. Angushta Matra Purushong Angushta Mastadha, they are all Upanishad again. And here in Chandogya Upanishad quotation he gives, Acharya gives, in the fourth chapter, fifth section, to fourth chapter, eighth section. So Brahman or Paramatma is talked about as Chatushpad Brahma, with having four padams, four legs. Tadetad Brahma, Chatushpad, Ashtashapam, Shodashakalam. That is how the mantra occurs in Chandogya, fourth chapter, fifth section. And this means Paramatma has a size. Or even if you say that Paramatma is located in some loka, the very fact that we locate Paramatma in a loka, we talk about reaching the Paramatma after death by traveling through a specific path, you give Unmanam to Paramatma limitation. Chatushpad, etc. is measurement of Paramatma. Similarly, Jivatma also has been given the measurements. Actually, in Svetasvatara Upanishad, in 5th chapter, 8th section, Angushta Matro Ravitulya Rupaha Sankalpa Ahankara Samanvitoyaha Buddhehe Gunena Atma Gunena Chaivam Aragra Matropya Paropi Drishtaha. And the very next shloka says, Balagra Shatabhagasya Shatada Kalpitasya Cha Bogo Jivaha Savigneyaha Sachanantyaya Kalpate. Balagra Shatabhagasya Shatada Kalpitasya Cha. What is the measurement given? Jivatma is like an Anu. So both Paramatma as also the Jivatma have got finite measurements. Paramatma is there, Jivatma is here. The very fact that Jivatma has to reach Paramatma indicates clearly that both are different. They have got measurement also, they have location, they have size. So this Unmana case, this is the one which is described in the second thing that is given in the sutra, Unmana. And the third one is Sambandha, Setu Unmana Sambandha. Sambandha means relationship. Relationship is talked about between Jivatma and Paramatma, and Paramatma and the world. And wherever relationship is talked about, we have to accept difference, because relationship presupposes difference. And what is the case reference given here? Again in Chandogya Upanishad, 6th chapter, 8th section, 1st mantra. Swapnantam me somya vijanihiti yatraitat purushaham Swapiti nama sa sata somya tada sampanno bhavati. Sata somya tada sampanno bhavati. He said, Jivatma dissolves into Paramatma during sleep. This means laya karanam also, laya adharam. So adhara, adheya, sampanda, the merger, merged sampanda. Adhara and adheya. The locus of merging and merger refers to relationship between Jivatma and Paramatma. Similarly, relationship between Paramatma and the universe, that is said in Kathopanishad, second chapter, third section, first mantra. Urdva Moolam Avachaka Esha Ashvatta Sanatanaha Tadeva Shukram Tad Brahma Tadeva Amritam Uchyate Tasmin Lokaha Ashritaha Sarve Tadunatyeti Kaschana Etad Vaitate. So all the lokas, they rest on Bhagavan only. Bhagavan is Adharaha, supporter. And the world is Adheya, supported. There is a Sambandha. So there are differences are there. And the fourth occasion in the sutra is Beda. Beda Vyavateshaha. These are places where difference is only mentioned. It's open. Here also, the differences are very openly mentioned also. In fact, we need not give a separate difference at all. The moment we say Sambandha itself, Veda automatically comes. Even because you cannot have Sambandha between the same thing. It should be two different things. Even then, Purvapakshi talks it. And where do we find this Veda? This is the famous Mundaka Upanishad quotation, which we have given so many times. Dvasuparna, Sayuja, Sakaya, the two birds example. Just as Tat Tvam Asi, is a billion-dollar statement for Dvaitins. This mantra from Mundaka is a trillion-dollar statement for Dvaita philosopher. Therefore, Veda Vivadesha is also there between Jivatma and Paramatma. and between Paramatma and the world, Veda is indicated again in Kathopanishad, second chapter, second section, 15th mantra. Na tatra suryo bhati na chandra tarakam, nema vidyuto bhanti kutoyam agnihi, tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam, tasya bhasa sarvamidam vibhati. So Paramatma is said to be the illuminator of the whole world. How can the illuminator and illumined be identical? The illuminator is Chetanam. Illumined is Achetanam. Paramatma is consciousness, Chaitanyam. World is matter. How can consciousness and matter be ever identical? Therefore, Veda Vipadeshe Bhyaha. Because of such statements, Dvaitam alone should be the ultimate truth, is the contention of the Purvapakshi Dvaita philosopher here. Advaitam also is not truth. Visishta Advaitam also is not truth. Truth, Dvaitam alone is the truth, is the philosophy given by the Bhedavadi. This is the general analysis. Now let us go to the word analysis of the sutra. Paramataha Setun Mana Sambandha Bheda Vipadeshe Bhyaha. 31st Sutra, 2nd Pada, 3rd Chapter, 349th Running Brahma Sutra. Paramataha. Paramataha has to be split as Param plus Ataha. Param means Anyam. There are other categories which are different. And Ataha means from that Brahman or from Paramatma. Setun Mana Sambandha Bheda Vipadeshe Bhyaha. Entire thing is one compound word. And when it is split, it will be Setu plus Unmana plus Sambandha plus Bheda plus Vipadeshe Bhyaha. Dvandu Samasa actually. Setuscha, Unmanascha, Sambandascha, Bhedascha. Setun Mana Sambandha Bhedaha. Tesha Vipadeshaha Shabdaha. Tat Bodhaka Shabdaha Tebhyaha. So that should be the Vigraha Vakyam. Everybody not going to that. Sorry. You know, this is the implied through what? Words that reveal the bank, namely Setu. Setu is the river bank or the bund, we said. Unmana, measure. Sambandha, relationship. And Bheda, the difference. So this is known by these words. What is known by these words? Paramatma is not Advaitam. Jivatma and world also are separately there. This is the running meaning of this sutra. Now the significance of the words we will see. Param, as I said, is different. From what? Ataha Param. Ataha refers to Brahman or Paramatma. So different from Paramatma. And the sentence is incomplete. So we complete it. We have to say other categories are there. Do not say Advaitam. Other than Paramatma, other categories are there. Whereas in Advaita, what do we say? Paramatma alone is there. There is nothing else at all. And if you say that I see things, because you see things, all those things, unless there is something else, how can you see something? Further, what do we say? That is your problem. Because you are seeing things, it's your problem. Brahmarpanam, Brahmahavihi, Brahmagno, Brahmanahutam, Brahmaivate Nagantavyam, Brahma Karma Samadhina. Brahman alone is there. That is Advaitam. Dvaitin says, Ataha Param. Other than Brahman, things do exist. In this sutra, he says. What does he mean by things? Jivatma and Jagat. Jiva, Jagat and all. They all exist. Because of these four Vedic statements, that is the proof he has. They are all proof from Shruti itself. So he says they are Shruti Pramana. Now let us see the significance of these words. As I said earlier, Param means difference. And Ataha means Paramatma or Brahma. Other than Paramatma, other categories are also there, namely Jiva, Jagat and all that. Brahman alone is there is Advaitam. Veda says that there are other things also, which are Jivatma and the universe. That is what is said in this sutra. Let us go to the next sutra. Samanyatu, 32nd sutra, 2nd Pada, 3rd chapter, 358th running Brahma Sutra. Samanyatu. On account of similarity. The objection raised in the preceding sutra is refuted in this sutra. Purvapakshi, he gave a long sutra, the last sutra that they just read and analyzed. And Vyasacharya gives his reply in this very small sutra. For this very long sutra given by the Purvapakshi, Vyasacharya gives this very small sutra reply. Samanyattu. Vyasacharya says, whenever Veda gives an example, we should always remember to find out. Whenever Veda gives an example, we should always remember to find out how much the example should be extended. Because Veda can give several examples, but one should know how much they should be extended. That is the biggest problem. Extension of example beyond what is intended by the speaker or the author. Here, Veda has compared Paramatma to a bund or a bank. That is the example. And if we extend it too much, then what are the other things that will arise? Bund is a limited entity. Then if you compare Paramatma with a bund, then Paramatma also will be limited. So the limitation part should not be extended from the example to Paramatma. Also, bund is inert. And if you extend it, then Paramatma also will be inert or jada. So the example does not refer to finite measurement. The finitude of bund should not extend to Paramatma. This is the idea. And Samanya means take to the general nature, not to the uncommon features. Samanya things you take, not to the uncommon things. Now we will see the word analysis of the sutra. The sutra is Samanyattu. Samanyat means because of the similarity. Brahman is referred to as a bank or a bund because of the similarity. Now we will see the significance of the words. Samanya means similar features, the features, common features. All features will never be same between the example and the original. We should remember that very clearly. When you give an example of something, all the features of the example and the original will not be same. If it is so, what will happen? Example will be the original. So all Vedantic examples are extended too much. And if I give the example, for example, the screen and movie example we have given many times. One should take only the screen and the movie, not anything else. One should not extend that example to the presence of the projector and all the operator, all that thing. The example is given only to show the adhishtanam of characters is screen. In the movie, for all the characters, the support is the screen on which all the characters appear. And all those characters will not be there without a screen. So one should not be a fault finder everywhere, but take the example in the spirit in which it is given, in that context. Now let us go to the next sutra, because extension of this particular example could be problem with respect to Paramatma. Next sutra, Buddhyartha Padavat. Buddhyartha Padavat. Padavat means, this is the 33rd sutra, second pada, third chapter, 351st running Brahma Sutra. Here, Vyasacharya negates the second example given by Purvapakshi. First example was Setu that he refuted earlier. Here he is refuting the second example. And what is the second example? If you remember, I split the entire compound word Setu plus Unmanam. Unmanaha is the second. So the measurement, Unmanam is the measurement given to Jivatma as Anu. And the measurement given to Paramatma as Chadushpad, four-footed Paramatma. We read both the mantras. And Vyasacharya says, again, you have to see the context. What is the context here in which these examples are given, these things are given in those particular references? The context is upasana, meditation. In the upasana context, we find such things, so many things we find for upasana. In Chandogya Upanishad, the whole thing is there in the upasana portion. Actually, the first chapter to the fifth chapter of Chandogya talks about only upasana. Actually, in many Vedantic talks and classes given by various people, they don't go through the first five chapters at all. when I was talking to somebody in Sringeri when I was visiting, they said, normally first five chapters, nobody talks about it. Are you teaching them also? I said, yes, that is the only way I will also be able to read them and then also be able to teach. So first five chapters are only Upasana portions. So Chandogya Maharshi talks about various Upasanas in those first five chapters. Therefore, Chatushpad should not be taken as a four-footed animal. If you study the Vedic portion, the Veda itself says that four padas are nothing but the parts of various creations. Just like what? In Vishnu Sahasranama Dhyana Shloka, Bhupadav yasya nabihi viyad asura nilas chandra suryau cha netre. So don't take padas literally here as foot. It is a figurative expression only to indicate that everything is included in Paramatma and nothing is away from Paramatma. Everything is included in Paramatma, nothing is away from Paramatma. Do not take it as the padas of Paramatma literally. And the word Anu also should not be taken literally. Anu does not refer to the size, but Anu means that it is not available for objectification. And here Vyasacharya discusses the relationship between Jivatma and Paramatma. Jivatma Swarupam and Paramatma Swarupam, they happen to be same. Jivatma Swarupam, Paramatma Swarupam, both happen to be the same. And Vyasacharya takes to some other philosopher who talks differently on this subject. He is the Beda Bhedavadi. We have already talked about it. And he was refuted first. And later in this Adhikaranam, Vyasacharya refutes Bhedavadi. So Beda Bhedavadi he refuted up to the earlier Adhikaranam. Now in this Adhikaranam, Vyasacharya is refuting Bhedavadi. Previous philosopher, the Beda Bhedavadi, what does he say? He says relationship is identity in difference. Two things are different, so they are identical in that. So in the difference, they are identical. So normally we say, you know, we agree in our in differing, right? We agree in disagreeing. In meetings, normally people say we agree in disagreeing. So here, identity in difference. Bhedavadi says relationship is like this. Whereas the present philosopher, he does not accept identity at all. That is this Bhedavadi, Dvaita philosopher, does not accept identity at all. And he says that there is eternal difference between Jivatma and Paramatma, Jivatma and Jagat and Aparoksham. All those things are eternal differences. The Mahavakya, Tattvamasi and all should be interpreted in such a way that identity is figurative. He says, when you say Tattvamasi, even it says identity, take that identity as figurative only. This is the argument of Vedavadis. And they say Tattvamasi is only part of the full sentence. It is not a full independent sentence. Tattvamasi is part of a full sentence. And they argue Atma Tattvamasi Svetaketu. In Chandogya, this particular section comes 9 times, Tattvamasi, Svetaketo. So, Atma Tattvamasi Svetaketo should be the sentence. And in Sanskrit, if you interpret it as Atma Atattvamasi. Atma Atattvamasi, not Tattvamasi, Atattvamasi. Never split it as Tattvamasi, but split it as Atattvamasi. Thus, wherever Aikyam is mentioned, it should be taken figuratively only. And Veda alone is Satyam. So this Bhedavada existed during and before Shankara's time. We have to understand that clearly. Normally when we put Bhedavada Dvaita Mandal, we normally refer to later Acharyas. During Shankara's time and before also, in Shruti also, as we quoted from various examples, this Bhedavadi Veda system was existing. So wherever Aikyam is mentioned, it should be taken figuratively. And Veda alone is Satyam according to the Bhedavadi. So this Bhedavada existed, as I told, during and before Shankara's time also. And Madhvacharya, he crystallized that. He gave a nice dimension and tried to give various arguments in support of this later. and it is this Bhedavada that is criticized. Brahman is as if a bund, when the Bhedavada that was existing during Shankara's time and before. So Brahman is as if a bund that protects the world. Unmanaha, Shastra talks about the size of Jivatma and Paramatma. Paramatma is described as Chatushpad Paramatma with four padas. This is a limited factor of Paramatma. Jivatma is the size of the Anu. Then the relationship is talked about between Jivatma and Paramatma, the world and Paramatma, Jagat and Jivatma. All those relationships are also talked about. Protector, protected Sambandha is talked about. Then the clean difference that is talked about by the Veda philosopher. Because of these four, you have to accept Veda. Vyasa has refuted the bank or bund expression quoted by Vedavadins before. He already saw. The supporter and supporter relationship does not prove the ultimate truth of reality. This is possible between Satyam and Mithya also. Baker is supporter and dream is the supported. If Vedavadi says that I talk about apparent duality, we will say it is all right. Word Setu, the two birds, Dvasuparna example of Mundaka, they all represent Vyavaharikam and not absolute reality. And Vyasacharya answers Unmana Shabda as to what about Paramatma having four padas and all that. Vyasacharya says that all forms, all shapes, etc. are given for the sake of meditation, upasana only, because beginners to Vedanta cannot understand Nirgunam Brahman. Beginners to Vedanta cannot understand Nirgunam Brahman. Even scholars are not able to accept the nature of Nirgunam Brahman. What to talk of beginners? For the sake of beginners, Shruti comes down and talks of Sagunam Brahman. For the sake of teaching the Nirgunam Brahman concept, Chatushpad Brahman is for the purpose of Upasana only. This methodology of teaching is not new to Veda. It uses the Pada expression in other places also. Again in Chandogya Upanishad, 3rd chapter, 18th section, 1st and the 2nd mantras. And it said, Mano Brahmeti Upasita Ityadhyatmam Atha Adi Daivatam Akasho Brahmeti Ubayam Adishtam Bhavati Adhyatmancha Adi Daivatancha Tadeta Chakshushpat Tadeta Chatushpat Brahmam Bhag Padaham Pranaha Padaham Chakshuhu Padaham Shrotram Padaham Ityadhyatmam. These are the four padas of the individual. Atha adi daivatam, what are the daivatam? Agni padaha, agni, vayu padaha, vayu is one padam, adityaha padaha, dishaha padaha. Ityubayam, eva adishtam bhavati, adhyatmam cha, eva adi daivatam cha. This is mantras from Chandogya. So you meditate upon the mind or the space as Brahman. And after introducing the two meditations, the Upanishad talks about Chatushpad Manaha. Mind has got four feet, it says. What are the four feet of the mind? Vak, Prana, Chakshuhu, Shrotram, organs of speech, Prana, eyes, ears. They are considered to be the four feet of Manaha. Similarly, Akasha also has got four feet. What are those? Agni, Vayu, Aditya, the sun, and Dik, the quarters. So these four are supposed to be Akashasya Chatushpadas, the four padas of Akasha. And Vyasacharya now asks, do you feel that Akasha has got four feet? If you want to interpret Chatushpadas, four feet. So these expressions are figurative only. And the four expressions should not be taken in the primary meaning, but in the figurative meaning only. It is as though the mind functions with the help of the four organs. It is as though Akasha functions All the four exist as though four parts of Akasha. Do not be carried away by the expression of Padas. When I say Akasha functions, don't expect any functioning of Akasha. Akasha has four exists before Padas. So the world cannot exist away from Brahman, just as the dream world cannot exist away from the dreamer. Pada, Amsha, etc. means as though, figurative. The Upanishad considers these and do not hold on to them after gaining jnana and realize the meditator himself is Brahman. This is the general analysis of the sutra. Now let us see the word analysis. Buddhyarthaha. So four padas are mentioned for Brahman for the sake of upasana. Padavat, like that of the mind and space. I told mind also has four padas, space also has four padas. Padavat. Buddhi here means upasana. Buddhyarthaha means upasana artha in this context. Artha means for the sake of upasana here. So this is the running meaning. Now let us see the significance of the words. Padavat. Padavat, like the four padas mentioned elsewhere, that is in Chandogya Upanishad, 4th chapter, 5th section, 2-4th chapter, 8th section, where we said Tadetat Brahma, Chatushpad, Ashtashapam, Shodashakalam. We quoted that sentence, but the entire 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Here the example is Chatushpad, Manaha, and Akasha. And again, in the Chandogya Chapter 3, Section 18, first mantra, Chatushpad Manaha and Akasha are example. Chatushpad Brahman is the topic here. Now let us go to the next sutra, Sutra 34. Sthana Viseshat Prakashadivat. Sthana Viseshat Prakashadivat. 34th Sutra, 2nd Pada, 3rd Chapter, 352nd Running Brahma Sutra. And in this sutra, Vyasacharya refutes the other two expressions given by the Vedavatis in the other sutra. Now the Sambandha and Veda expressions are refuted. In the first sutra, he refuted Setu. Second one, he refuted Unmana. Now in this sutra, he is refuting both the expressions Sambandha and Veda. Both the expressions are being refuted here. Here the Purvapakshi says, scripture talks about relationship between Jivatma and Paramatma. And what does it talk about? Create, Paramatma is creator, Jivatma is created, meditator, meditated, protector, protected, relationship. They are all mentioned. But here we see another relationship, the knower and known. Knower and known relationship. And any relationship, what does it prove? When you say two things are related, it proves duality minimum. And therefore, we must accept duality. When you say relationship, there is duality. Not only it indirectly proves duality, but Shastra directly talks of duality also. Sambandha indirectly talks about Veda and Veda directly talks about Veda, because we all saw all those Veda Shrutis. For this, Vyasacharya says that Shastra talks about duality, all right, and relationship as intermediary step of teaching. Shastra talks about duality and relationship as intermediary step of teaching. Even Advaitins, they start the class. What do we do? I also say Sadashiva Sambaramba, all those shlokas with puja and all the shlokas. But we say it is Vyavaharika Bedaha or Mithya Bedaha. It is accepted temporarily as a stepping stone only. It is of lower order of reality, like the differences in the light. Undivided light come that seems divided because some media of manifestation. Once you keep a mirror in front of sun, you see reflected sun and the other, namely the direct sunlight. Now the question is, what is the relationship between the two? Now I say the original sun is cause and the other one is the effect, reflected one. The reflected sunlight cannot exist independent by itself without the adhishtanam, the original light. Hence, reflected sunlight is called mithya, and the original sunlight is called satyam. Bimba Surya is different from Pratibimba Surya. There is seeming difference and not actual difference. It is mithya bhedaha. That is seeming difference caused by the medium of manifestation. Ghatakasha is part space and matakasha, the room space, are seemingly different. One can accommodate maybe a ghatakasha in a pot, you can put 1 liter or 1 gallon of milk. And the other can accommodate large amount of milk. So it's an example. So the difference between them is caused by manifestation, upadhi and all that. Similarly, jivatma is consciousness and paramatma also is consciousness, but there is no difference between them essentially. But there is seeming difference, within quotes, caused by the medium of manifestation, which in this case is the various upadhis, like what? Body, mind complex, or the shariram and the mind complex. The differences are only the medium of manifestation. If the medium of is of superior type, we call it paramatma. The superior upadhi, paramatma. When it is inferior, we call it jivatma. And if you do not understand, go on practicing and we'll know it. And ultimately, Vyasacharya tells the Bedavadi, don't understand this, go on practicing it. Now we will do the word analysis. First, let us see the running meaning. Sthana viseshat. The difference in relationship between jivatma and paramatma are mentioned because of the medium of manifestation. Prakashadivat, as in the case of light, etc. Prakashadishatta. And now significance of the words we will see. Sthana viseshat. Upadhi. Upadhi means medium of manifestation. And viseshat refers to medium because of various differences in the medium. So jivatma has got inferior microcosmic medium and called shariratraya. Jivatma has got the three bodies, shariratrayam, whereas paramatma has got superior macrocosmic medium, that is prapanchatrayam. So shariratrayam and prapanchatrayam, sthula shariram, sukshma shariram, karana shariram, sthula prapancha, sukshma prapancha, karana prapancha. So through the medium, you will have distorted versions. One is vishwa, another is taijasa, another is pragya. Vishwa is sthula, and another taijasa is sukshma, and pragya is karana, jiva. And this jiva has inferior attributes. Whereas the second distorted version is called what? Like you have vishwa, here it is virat for the prapancha, this total, samashti. For taijasa, sukshma shariram in the individual, that is vyashti, individual, here it is hiranyagarbha, samashti, total. Prajna, vyashti, individual, and here it is antaryami rupa paramatma. And the group is called Ishwara actually. So jivatma as also paramatma, these are all tattva bodha fundamentals. So I'm just assuming, I'm saying all those words. Jivatma as also paramatma have inferior attributes and superior attributes because the original paramatma does not have any attribute inferior or superior. The original paramatma, Nirguna Chaitanyam, has no attributes. Ishwara is useful till moksha paryantam. You can use Ishwara till you get moksha. After moksha, jnani goes to God not for getting moksha, but to convey his or her gratitude to God for his blessings. Jnani does puja only to thank God for the opportunity to be one with God. Jnani also does puja to thank God for the opportunity to be one with God. I do archana, seeking the non-forgetfulness. I should not forget. which is Vyavaharika requirement. I live in the Vyavaharika Satyam, the world, practical world. Please bless me with the non-forgetfulness of my original nature. Worship God. Yeah, Vyavaharika Puja for Vyavaharika requirement of non-forgetfulness of Paramarthika fact that I and God are one. These are all various things which a person has to train oneself to. Sthana Vishesha, the particular medium which distorts, and because of the distortion, there is seeming Beda and seeming Sambandha also. That is the Sthana Vishesha. So from Paramarthika Drishti, Jivatma is neither Karyam effect nor Ishvara is Karanam cause. The Advaita Prakaranam of Mandukya Karika, it establishes this only. In Mandukya Karika, Advaita Prakaranam is the chapter. And in the mirror example, there is seeming division. So Prakasha Adivate, Akasha and all that thing. So like space, part space is produced out of total space. Part space is Karyam and total space can be considered Karanam and they are only expressions. Vacharambanam vikaro namadeyam. Part alone is product and part space is never a product. Part alone is product, part space is never a product. Let us go to the next sutra. Upapatthescha, 35th sutra, second pada, third chapter, 353rd running Brahma Sutra. So all the four expressions quoted by Purvapaksha have been reconciled. Setu, Unmana, and Sambandha, and Veda. All four have been reconciled. And Veda is source of knowledge, and we have to reconcile every word because Veda is knowledge. So we should be able to reconcile every word. And the reconciliation is Veda is seeming Veda, and Abheda is a factual Abheda. Vedavadi says Abheda is seeming and Veda is a fact. So Advaitam is fact, Dvaitam is figurative, Siddhanti says. So which one we should take? That is our plan. Both are not better off because both take one as a fact and the other as fiction, to call it as fiction. Vyasacharya asks us to use our own intellect to judge which is right and which is wrong. Do not accept everything because it is old or it is new. Anything is possible. Old may be good, new may be wrong, or otherwise. Intelligent people use their intelligence before coming to the conclusion. If everyone says he is logical, you should use your intellect to come to your own conclusion because everybody is going to defend himself. If Jivatma is eternally different from Paramatma, one will always be away from Paramatma. If Jivatma is eternally different from Paramatma, one will be always away from Paramatma. Shastra talks about Veda and Pratyaksha Pramanam reveals Veda. You should be very clear in that. Shastra talks about Veda and Pratyaksha Pramanam also reveals Veda. They must be taken as Satyam, which is eternal. And therefore, difference must be eternal also. We have already given the argument in Veda Khandanam. In that argument, we have given all this. If Veda has to be Satyam and eternal because of experience and Shastra, Saro also must be true and eternal because Shastram talks about Dukkham of Jivatma. Shastra clearly says, Jivatma is different from Paramatma and Jivatma grieves. If you remember the term, Shochati, Jivatma grieves. If Jivatma is different from Paramatma, in Kailasa or Vaikuntha also, Jivatma will continue to suffer. And if one argues grief goes or not, in ultimate reality, namely Moksha, grief will go away. Moksha means grief should go away. Similarly, Veda also goes away or has to go away in Moksha. Yes, a bound person cannot be happy, however noble chain of bondage may be. Even if it is a golden fetter, it is still bondage. As long as you are a dasa, whether you are dasa of a mayor or a president of a country or Bhagavan, Lord Vishnu or Shiva himself, dasatvam is smallness and one cannot talk of freedom when you are a dasa. It is proved and experienced. If one says, I will be dasa of Lord, I have nothing to tell you. As you like to be dasa, fine. My intelligence does not accept freedom and emotional problems. How can I be happy when several people share the same blessings of the God? If we have to understand the central teaching of Vedanta, we have to enjoy a prepared mind to grasp the teaching. This mindset we can get only if we remember certain fundamental teachings or fundamental principles. Vedanta presents moksha as the goal. Moksha is defined as dukkha nivritti purvaka sukha praptihi, the attainment of purnatvam, preceded by the removal of apurnatvam. The next important text that we have to gather is, which is toughest nut to crack, is what? Dukkham is treated as synonymous with dvaitam, plurality. Dukkham and Veda are to be taken as synonymous. And if this truth is not understood, Vedanta will not make any sense. If it is not done, there will be a lot of emotional problems also. We should know that dvaitam is dukkham. We should convince our intellect that dvaitam is dukkham. First, the Shruti says in Chandogya Upanishad that in the Bhuma Vidya portion, Bhuma alone is sukham and Abhuma is dukkham. In the 7th chapter, 24th section, first mantra of Chandogya says, Yatra nanyat pashyati, nanyat shrunoti, nanyat vijanati, sa bhuma. Ata yatra anyat pashyati, anyat shrunoti, anyat vijanati, tad alpam. Yovai bhuma, tad amritam. Ata yat alpam, tat martyan martyagum, sa bhagavaham, kaspin pratishtita iti, sve mahimni yediva na mahimniti. 7th chapter, 24th section, first mantra. So if bhuma is sukham, and alpam is dukkham, what is the definition of bhuma then? Then Sanat Kumara gives the definition in that particular section. Bhuma means absence of duality. Bhuma means advaitam. Bhuma means abhedaha. Bhuma vidya it is. Non-duality, advaitam, is sukham. Where there is duality, it is called alpam. Where there is finitude, there is mortality. Where there is mortality, there is discomfort. And where there is discomfort, there is sorrow. Yukti always also reveals this fact. So bhuma vidya, bhuma means absence of duality. And the fear is the end of favorable conditions. Where there is mortality, there is fear and dukkham, we said. Fear is what? The end of favorable conditions we enjoy now. And the happiness, all these which may end, affects us and creates fear in us. It is going to end, it is going to end, it is going to end. The happiness is going to be gone. This is the fear of losing the condition we are supposed to enjoy. The intelligence it will pose a question. If dvaitam is dukkham, then it will mean that the whole world is also dukkham. Dvaitam is dukkham, whole world is dukkham. But we do talk about dvaita sukham also. How can you sweep aside the dvaitam as dukkham when you experience dvaita sukham also? We do talk about dvaita sukham. We do say that the world is a mixture of sukham and dukkham. We said we are also mishras also. Sukha dukkha mixture. That means what? If all dvaitam is dukkham, how do you account for the dvaita sukham? I'll accept logically if you say that certain types of dvaitam is sukham, and certain types of dvaitam is dukkham. But what you say, Siddhantin, what you say? all dvaitam is dukkham, then how do you account for dvaita sukham? An intelligent one will see the exception. The moment you say a rule, he will also see the exception. For example, always people are trying to look for exceptions. Therefore, the exception is, how do you say all dvaitam is dukkham? For this, the logical and scriptural answer is, dvaita sukham is sukha abhasaha. We can coin a new word, sukha abhasaha. Dvaita sukham is sukha abhasaha. It is a seeming sukham. It is not permanent sukham. It is a seeming sukham. It is a sukham of a non-thinking person. It is a sukham for one who has not done pariksha, lokan, karmachita, and all that thing that is the Upanishad Vakyams. Because every sukham is sukha abhasa. Because every dvaita sukham has got superficial coating of sukham, like a sugar-coated pill. And because sukha abhasa is dukkham caused by the loss of dvaita, that is the problem. Yegi samsparsaja bhogaha dukkayonaya evate, Krishna said. Therefore, sukham is dvaitam, is defined as dukkham. Whatever sukham is said in dvaitam is defined as dukkham only. It is hidden in sukham coating. Once that is gone, it will be dukkham. That sukham is gone, it will be dukkham. Therefore, initially for an immature mind, Vedanta accepts dvaita sukham for the immature mind. And later, when the student is sufficiently advanced, mature and learned, Vedanta expects every serious student to understand and assimilate this truth. Dvaitam is dukkham. And it comes in two packages also. One is direct dukkham, and the other is sukha abhasa coated dukkham. Unless this is done, the seekers of Vedanta cannot understand Vedanta. This is precondition. This is called nitya anitya vastu vivekaha. That shruti, yukti, anubhava, they will prove dvaitam is dukkham, because even if there is sukham, the end of the object, which is a source of pleasure, will cause dukkham. Or the object need not end, the contact with that object can end. That will be dukkham. This fact anubhava teaches all the time. If one says that I don't mind dvaita dukkham, and I am satisfied with sukha abhasaha, Vedanta says, you are not a candidate for Jnanakanda yet. You have come to the wrong address. For them, our advice is what? You go to Karmakanda, which supplies dvaita sukham and sukha abhasa, do upasanas and all that. And once you are convinced intellectually and ready to emotionally accept this fact, then I can talk about moksha to you. I will define moksha as dukkha sukha abhasa nivrittihi. And therefore, a mature intellect must understand moksha must be defined as dvaita nivrittihi. How it is coining both dukkham and dvaita. And when we say dvaita nivrittihi, we don't qualify it at all. When we say dvaita, it is sarvadvaita. There is no differentiation between sacred dvaita, divine dvaita, secular dvaita, mundane dvaita. All dvaita results in dukkham problem, fear and all that. For example, two people, this is very careful, we all go through these experiences almost every day. For example, two people quarrel as temple trustees. They are trustees of a temple, they quarrel. It's a divine quarrel, sacred quarrel within the temple. And also in front of the Lord also. And the subject matter of quarrel is what? Is also God. But remember, dvaita quarrel, whether it is sacred quarrel, divine quarrel, will be dukkham only. Therefore, if you visualize moksha as a place where Lord is sitting as a person and all the liberated people, they throng around to have darshan of him, there also there'll be fight. Who should serve the Lord today? And at the end of the puja, who should receive the first prasadam from the Lord? Who is senior mukta and who is the junior mukta? There'll be quarrel. And Bhagavan has to spend most of his time settling the disputes of the liberated quarreling bhaktas. All are liberated quarreling bhaktas. One may see Bhagavan himself will start reading Vedanta. Then I will get moksha from all these quarreling bhaktas. Where can he go? So all the problems will be there. So one will find whether divine dvaitam or non-divine dvaitam all should end in moksha only ultimately. And therefore Vedanta defines moksha as dukkha nivritti, and it should be understood as dvaita nivritti. And if dvaita should end in moksha, dvaita should not be absolute reality. If dvaitam is satyam and absolute reality, it will continue in moksha. And dukkham also will continue. And then what does the advaitam say? I'll take only a couple of minutes. Thank God, advaitin say, dvaitam is mithya. And it has to be mithya. It will go away. Because mithya is defined in such a way that mithya will end in moksha. Therefore, dvaitam is mithya, and Veda is mithya, and advaitam is satyam, and abheda is satyam, and Vedanta talks about both. But we should understand that one is satyam and the other is mithya. Do not take both of them equally, just because Vedanta talks about both, Veda and abheda equally. All the vakyas in Vedas, they talk about Veda. Dvasuparna of Mundaka Upanishad Vakyam, they all talk about. And there are a lot of other things they talk about, abheda, tattvamasi, and all those vakyas talk about abheda. Don't take them equally. Dvasuparna is anuvada vakyam, and tattvamasi is pramana vakyam. One has to differentiate between anuvada vakyam and pramana vakyam. All dvaita vakyams are anuvada vakyam, which deals with the mithya prapancha. And all advaita vakyams are pramana vakyas, which talk about advaitam brahman. And that is the logical approach Vyasacharya can. Therefore, Vyasacharya tells in this 31st Sutra, Upapadyate cha. It means it is logical to treat Abheda as Satyam and Veda as Mithya. Therefore, Setu, Unmana, Sambandha, and Veda, they all talk about Dvaitam. But do not argue that, therefore, Dvaitam is Satyam. Because he talks about it, don't argue that dvaitam is satyam. It is logical to treat dvaitam as mithya. And if the word mithya makes you uncomfortable, this we also saw earlier. If you think mithya word, you don't like it, doesn't matter. You can call it vyavaharika satyam. It is relative reality and lower order of reality. Swapna is relative reality. Jagrat is relative reality. Vaikuntha, Kailasha, they are all relative reality. You can have any number of relative realities, but there is only one paramarthika satyam. This is the general analysis of this sutra. We will do the word analysis tomorrow. Yo veda dau swara prokto vedante cha pratishtitah tasya prakriti leena seya parasa maheshwara. Sri Krishna.